Hi, everybody. Happy holidays. I don't know if I've said that yet over this December season heading into January. Joe, happy holidays to you.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. That warms my heart outside
of
the holiday coffee I got going on over here.
I'm not all Grinch all the time. You know, remember, the Grinch's heart grew four sizes that day. It's okay. We can bring that out of people.
Probably a reason that the Philadelphia Eagles and their whatever throwback jerseys color scheme went to the Grinch green. So that tells you a lot about your fan base.
You're jelly. You know what? I'm going to get you a Kelly green hoodie for Christmas.
I don't need that.
You know what the nice thing is? It doesn't even have to say Eagles on it. Just the Kelly green alone evokes where your heart lies.
If I only had a wood fireplace in my backyard, I could definitely see how that would start some stuff.
I'm going Josh Allen.
We're not going to be wide right this time. We got Josh Allen and the Bills. We're going at this point.
Nothing would warm me more than a Buffalo Philly Super Bowl. That would be something special.
That would mean you guys get past Detroit. That's interesting. And luckily your guys is with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, actually, like, you guys did a handshake and
that's just noise. It's just self noise. The media needs something to talk about.
Let's be real.
Those professional athletes can't be successful without a little bit of ego, right? 100%. They get it, right? Self-development, self-worth, right? You can be a team player, but to a degree, when you're the best and you're not maximizing on your value, there's a balance there for sure, but look what happened. They rectified it. They recognized he was not as involved as he should be. We're spoiled with depth through Saquon Barkley, right? So keep feeding him the rock. But all of a sudden you recognize, okay, we can go in this other direction.
I know we're not a sports podcast. But you don't see that happen in hockey. Anyway, we will continue moving forward in regards to ego and whatnot.
Those are our entrepreneurial spirit sports podcast in 2025.
Yeah,
Now, with all that said, Joe, we look at – and a lot of the things that we've talked about, impact, development and depth, that keeps coming up in a lot of our stories, whether it's self-personal development, deliberate development, or development through the organizations that we or our associates or just agents in general belong to. So what I kind of wanted to talk about today, like I say, you know, we often focus on those skills, right? Skills needed to close a transaction, skills needed to convert a consumer over. But what about skills do we need to enhance and build our career, right? Is it training? Is it development? Is it culture? It's a balance of all of that, right? How do we help our associates thrive and grow beyond the surface level stuff of transactional management, right? How does our organization or their organization, right, because they're their own business owners, right, focus on that personal development and depth for themselves, for their employees, beyond the ability of conversion of sales, right? How do they balance, if we're talking and joking about sports, right, balance of immediate production and long-term growth development? Like, what does that look like for you?
I think a lot of times we go into the how before understanding the why. And I'm going to give the example of this. So today's, you know, what Dave's bringing up is this idea of like self-development, self-directed development. And what I mean by development is actually education, training, and progression in like your overall skills, mindsets, behaviors, and enhancing just overall development of you as an individual. When you think about organizations, I'm sure all of you tuning in have heard something about different organizations you've either partnered with, worked with, directly employed by, and engaged with about something around development, education, training organizations for the benefit of either the employees or the consumers, clients that they serve. And why do I think a lot of companies preach that, or they put it on their brick wall as one of their values and or one of their beliefs or one of their virtues, and that we're a constant training and education company, right? And I think everybody claims that in some form or fashion. That's why you see coaches, that's why you see these training programs, sales, education, seminars, symposiums. You see it all over the place. There's like it's probably $1 trillion industry if you look at everything that goes on.
Without a doubt. I mean, look, And social media has driven so much more of that, right? Because you have all these prognosticators, these experts that jump out. And so you see that all the time. So that's just magnified. That's for sure. It's emotional in the moment, right? How many, I say this all the time, and I'm a personal development self on that too, is like, hey, if I go to something, if I learn something, if I hear something, right? How am I holding myself accountable to executing it? If it moved me so much, how do I take away from that and go ahead and it, let that impact my business?
But why? Beyond. So like that's the piece that like I firmly, but this was like where you see me pushing back with a lot of the industry is that like, why? Like if you think about why, so like everyone gets in, tell me how. And okay. I'm a big believer in pushing back on that one because it's why. So when you see this happens, like why do companies want to be training development environments? Like that's a first question. But the pre question to that one is why do you want to be developed? So like when everyone says how, there's this concept of if you're a smoker, you can't just say how am I going to stop being a smoker? Or if I'm unhealthy, you can't just say, well, how do I become healthy? Well, eat some salad. Great. Awesome. Or stop smoking. You can't actually change behaviors based on a how. You have to get to a why, and the person has to actually want to align with that. So when you think about why do we want to education and train? Well, the reason why is that human beings want to be autonomous. They want to author their things. And most of the time, they want to know from a confidence level that they can succeed on their own, because then they become confident, they become independent, and they can author where they're going. So why do you want to be educated? One is you can't be taken advantage of. Number two, you can make decisions on your own that are your actual thoughts, ideas, and like scription, meaning like you actually wrote it out and said, this is where I'm going to go. So the why behind training and education has to do with if you've got educated people that can make decisions on their own, critically think, apply that to historical knowledge and then best practices, you're limiting failure. And by doing so, people see the benefit.
Well, I want to make sure that you didn't say eliminate, you said eliminate, right? Limit, because failure is always going to be a component, right?
Always going to be there. But like the part around education, you know, and here's the other part around it is that there's this idea of like, who do you need to become? So like before you even get into, I could be the best training organization in the world, like self-proclaimed, right? Asterisk on that, quote unquote. But unless the people coming to the environment want that, then there's no, like, I can't force somebody to like learn it and apply it, which goes in some of your questioning. The best question I've ever asked somebody before you even get into why an organization needs to be trained in education, it's the individual. Why do they want to be developed? This is why coaching isn't very effective if the coachee hasn't described and articulated why they want coaching. So if you just come in and say, this is the worst client you could ever have, is Dave comes in and says, Joe, I want to be trained, developed, and coached by you. Great, Dave, let's do that. And then if I just go into my predisposed like plan, the challenge is that Dave's a unique individual that has unique goals, aspirations, and skill set and behaviors that can't just fit into a box. Like education and training at some level has to be customized to the individual based on their strengths, weaknesses, gaps, experience, and aspirations. So when you think coaching is the unique side of training and development for the actual person. Training and education gives people baselines, right? So you have baselines to put a lot of people in so you can scale it and give baseline education. Then you have coaching and consulting that uniquely goes to the client. I can say all these things, but when I get really excited about training and education to develop people, it's that the person that is looking to be trained and developed has to be clear about where they want to go, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and what they actually want to be coached on. Because if you just come to me and say, I just want to be coached, and I start coaching you on time blocking, and you're like, no, I need help on, I don't know, lead generation and prospecting, like the expectation is misaligned, and then hence there becomes conflict, and then you don't see value, and you don't actually grow. So that's the first part about trade education is self-mastery of like, where are you today? Strengths, weaknesses, gaps, whatever. Where do you want to be? and then developing a plan that says, I believe if I'm here today and I want to be from point A to point Z, what are the strategic coaching, consulting conversations I need to have? What is my plan for development? What's the training I need to go to that might be one-on-one, maybe self-directed? What are the in-person ones with groups that might need to be there? What might be symposiums in large scale, like over 100 people? Are there small group accountability type of things? So education and training then goes into a plan that says, if I'm at A and I want to go to Z, what are all the different ways I'd be trained and educated? Now, the employer or the organization can help and facilitate that, but the individual has to take control of where their plan is and what they believe is best for them based on their self-mastery. And I think that's the number one thing about training and education.
I love where this is kind of going. Can you look at this? So they are two completely different elements, right? There's education and training, which are couldn't be more different, all right, for the individual, because you could be incredibly educated, PhD, college graduate, or just life lesson through being in an industry for so long where you know everything of how to do, right? The question is, do you want to learn, right? Do you want to actually develop, right? Because you can teach me how to write a contract. You can teach me how to pick up the phone. You can teach me to talk, but am I actually growing? Am I becoming somebody else? Am I becoming more than just surface deep Dave, right? Coaching is taking that, okay, let's forget that you need to know how to run a business day to day. You need to understand finances. You need to know how to hire. You need to know how to execute basic functionality. That's education. That's what you go to school for. And there are some classes you take to get what you need to know from a knowledge base. You're talking about providing value. Like, hey, are there people in my organization that come to my organization because they are truly growing? I'm not necessarily talking about financially in their business, because if you don't have the value above and beyond that, they're going to get to a certain level of development that comes maximized and go, I've gotten all that I can out of that relationship from a business financial acumen, but I'm not growing and becoming more. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if you break down, and we're going to get to the point of why an organization needs to be focused on training education, I think you have to look at the progression of how that works. Because as a leader, if you just said, well, we've got education, I look at education as information. They're like, hey, I educated you on a concept. I look at training as taking said education information and applying it to real world, you know, situations, right? Like active training. Like that's what I hear with training is that, like, hey, I brought you on site to the manufacturing job and I showed you how the widget gets made inside the thing. That'd be training Dave, right? And then there's like live active feedback loops. And we got to remember that human beings, the majority of people need to learn by doing, not by, hey, Dave, look over my shoulder. I'm typing all this stuff up. Look how I do this. Oh, you got it? Great. Go ahead. That's not how that works. Like, think about riding a bike. So when you think about your education, training programs, and personal development for each one of the people in your organization, like riding a bike was not, hey, here's a manual, or hey, go watch this YouTube video. It was, I remember for me, it was going in the community tennis court, the double-sided tennis court, right? So I'm learning in Florida where they've got sand and double-sided tennis court, right? So I'm trying to avoid sand and I'm trying to avoid-
I was having a hard time picturing you play tennis.
Well, yeah, I don't play tennis. not my forte. Now, we're definitely, that's like trying to put me as a center in the NBA. That ain't going to work either. So my point being is that, like, I remember getting this tennis court. You have obstacles of sand and the nets around a chain link fence, right? So think you're for a typical like Florida tennis court that's in a community, right? So I learned to ride a bike because I just went and did it. Now, where people learn the most is where there's real risk involved. That sand, I skidded out in that sand and had all kinds of cuts on my knees and hands. And because this was back when helmets were optional and the other things didn't exist because you just didn't do those things. So you had real risk of like rocks and sand and wipeout and feeling all that blood. And they also had the net. And if I went into the net, I was getting flown over the net, which would be another physical injury to me. So there were real ramifications for not performing and learning how to ride this bike because I was going to physically get hurt. Now we're in the, you know, work world. There's no physical things outside of probably anxiety, stress, and like, you know, those type of things that are more of a manifestation of feelings, which can't be dismissed because we have to manage those things as well. But my point being is that, like, how we train and educate people has to be rethought about how do I educate you on information so you're informed? How do I train you so you're actually getting someone live doing it beside you? And then number three is, how do I encourage you to actually do it on your own and have a positive feedback loop that says, I'm okay with you failing, but you are 75% better than you were yesterday. You're missing these things. That's not a big deal. We're learning, but this is how we're going to create an implementation plan that's customized to you, which goes back to when you're a leader, you should really only have like maybe five people at most going back to you, because you're going to have to give education training that can be leveraged out. But then the coaching consulting, which is unique to the individual, has to be customized, which is why you want to be able to only have five people reporting to you. Because if you want to have true development of people and growth, you're going to have to dedicate about 2 years of one-on-ones. That means weekly with at least an hour a week. So 104 times meeting with somebody to be able to give them education, training, work through their goals, work through their mindset, work through the things you are already assuming they know, which they don't. And then being able to customize feedback loops that are beneficial to them, but also in alignment of where they want to go. So if you want to think about that, here's the kicker. So that's what you got to do in a one-to-one fashion. Why is that important to an organization? You want to know how you avoid turnover. You want to know how you build a bench. You want to know how you get employees that are happy and positive and fulfilled to be there and happy to like be raving fans. So they send referrals to their colleagues and friend networks. So they join your company. And you want to know why people go the extra mile because they have ownership in it, is because they're in an environment that says, hey, Dave, not only do I care about your personal performance and professional performance in your job, but I care about the fact that you get skills that are then going to help you in the future. So if you really take on the idea that if you join my organization and you're going to be a better version of yourself at the end of working with Joe, whenever that may be, I never want you to leave. But at the same point, you probably will, because life changes and things happen. But if I actually say as the employer that I am dedicated to your overall growth and development, By secondarily, that's going to make you a better performer in the job. It's going to give you better confidence. It's going to feel better about the fact that I care about you and you're just not a cog because you're a human being. And then it actually provides the ability to say all those skill sets that happen mindset wise or skill set wise on the professional side are eventually going to manifest on the personal side. So when you talk about fully developing somebody in a 360 degree view, by doing the education, training, investment, and then giving people authorship and ownership in their role based on your coaching and consulting, you give them autonomy, but you also give them confidence. And when you have a confident workforce that believes that their leader cares about them because they went through all that development, that's not just, you know, how to punch the clock and how to do a widget. It could be public speaking. It could be conflict resolution. It could be contract law for operating agreements and joint venture stuff, and teaching them how to do things they never thought, because that skill is then translatable into something else that they never thought was going to be there, right? So my point being is that if you're a training education organization, you're coaching to the whole person, you're developing the whole person. And that's what people want. They want to be appreciated. They want to know that it's beyond a paycheck, that like you actually listen to me, you want my feedback. And if we talk about employees that have ownership, like, well, if you're never empowering them to make decisions and then giving them the time to develop those skill sets, it's quality time. And through that quality time allows a workforce that allows them to be able to make decisions, because you've taken what you've already experienced as a leader, pass that on. So you could also get into the idea of paying it forward. And when you pay things forward, people actually have a need to fulfill that back to you and also want to stay longer because they actually feel they have purpose.
So you're spot on. And I'm looking at this at scale to a degree, which this gets very challenging to do at scale, right? You're talking about, if I'm, you know, I oversee a handful of people, how am I pouring into them individually? So, and we can both agree that people stay for as long as they stay, we call that retention, right? Because we've identified an opportunity for them to grow, and they see it too, right? They have to see growth. We call it value, right? But at the same time, we hear different terms thrown around. We hear about culture. If we look at self-development and we put that under the culture, right, then we have to say, okay, is our organization, and whether it's you and your individual business unit or team, right, your market center, your region, your company, right, that's when I look at scale from that capacity. I say, are you actually prioritizing self-development, right? Are you becoming a magnet for growth-minded individuals, or is that just a place where they can make a buck and maximize their dollar? It's important, but we're trying to separate the two, right? when we look like and we set the tone, right, that messaging will get out, right? Joe helped me, Dave helped me, my leadership helped me. And they didn't just help me maximize my business, they helped maximize me personally. So when I say that, so what does that type of training look like? How do you bring training into an environment? And I'm going beyond education. I'm actually talking about training. How much of that is the onus of the organization to say, here's a path versus the individual business owner or agent in this case, going out and finding those things, right? Because if they have to go outside of us, we've lost or we may be losing them. So how do we bring in enough training or provide enough training for the masses?
I don't know if this answers your question, but it's a pretty firm belief of mine is that when someone wants to learn something, you don't have to pull them down the road to learn it. So like,
well, I'm not saying you got to pull them down the road, but are you providing enough growth opportunities through training, right, that they say, I need to be in that room. I want to be in that room. I got to earn to be in that room.
Let me think of it differently. Let me say this differently. This is going to get really aggressive, so hold on, buckle your seats up. When I hear someone say that they weren't trained, educated, or supported, I get really frustrated by that statement.
Okay.
Mainly because here's the reality. Most, if I ask then, what do you need education, training, and support on? And I don't hear anything back. What that tells me, and it certifies this situation, is that the manager leader can't get in your head. There is not a chance in the world that I could get into Dave's head. So there is a symbiotic relationship. And this is how I think it actually has to work. The employee has to be able to be self-aware enough about where they're struggling, right? That I don't really understand this. I don't get this. I don't understand that. Like, that's okay. And then the leader has to have an environment where it's okay to say, I'm not perfect. That's number one. I think that's on the leader. The next lead, then they actually have to carve out time to meet with people, right? So if the leader has dedicated time, usually an hour, maybe 2 hours a week, something like that, and they're clear, they're communicating, they're working, and they have opportunities for here's the education online, here's the manual, here's some training meetings that we're going to have, and here's some on-the-job trainings. They did those type of things. The challenge that I have with like that idea of like, are you providing growth and all that, is that you've got five people that you should be responsible for. Those five people have a similar responsibility in that partnership. Yes. Is it my responsibility to provide you growth and all that? Yes. It's also your responsibility as the employee to be able to articulate what you're struggling with, where you want to go, and what the actual real challenge is for you, because the leader cannot read your mind, nor do I know what you want. And if you can't articulate that to somebody, that's like saying there is a responsibility in both parties. And when it comes to feedback, I'm also a pretty big fan of like the receiver of the feedback has to check their ego and understand that they're getting feedback from somebody because they want what's best for them. Now, is there a toxic relationship that could possibly happen? Yes, there is. There is that stuff. But like at the end of the day, I could literally sit here and say, you know, I'm very clear. I don't need a coach to tell me I would suck at playing basketball in the NBA. I don't need that. I am 100% clear that I am not going to be great at that, right? I'm also very clear that I lead with a lot of facts, logic, and goal-driven, aggressive speed. That is how I'm wired. So if someone gave me feedback that said, you need to be a little bit softer on the bedside approach, and if you tried this language and that language, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. And I'm going to try my darndest to try to do that. But I'm very clear about who I am. And I also realize that I could be, and the people I get feedback from, I trust, know, like, and I could learn from them. So that, like, I also agree with that. Like,
I love where you went. No, I love how you broke that down, right? Because there isn't a perfect answer because you can't prescribe for all. However, but when you're in relationship with those people that you can impact the most, because the key word there is that you're in relationship with them, right? Because you can have a conversation with them about their needs. You understand their why. And I think too, and for a future event, we're going to have Mike Forza on, Joe, as we talk about the steps of relationship about where we are with somebody, right? Are we somebody that's knowledgeable? Are we somebody that's helpful? Are we truly somebody that's impactful and making their dreams come true, right? And if we are that for five people, and those people are that for five people, then the trainings and the offerings that we have in our organization, right, are uniform in what we're helping people become, right? And then that education and training or coaching, that's not education, that coaching, right, makes them better business owners. Mm-hmm. It prepares them to be better for their consumers, right? Because the client side of that, right, recognizes and see in their agent business partner, right, to help them represent them, right, that they don't just no longer know their craft because they were educated, right? They now have a commitment to self-development that comes across because they've intentionally, right, poured into themselves through their and the organization, right? And that ripple effect creates unifying relationships between the consumer and the business owner, in this case, our agent, and thus strengthening the bond between that agent and the organization that they've decided to partner with. That's what we're talking about here. Everything becomes uniform through awareness, understanding, right, and giving them what they need only because we've listened, we've asked questions, and we truly understand who they are and what they need now, and it may be what they're going to need in the future, but not because we prescribed it.
And I think like this conversation is very like people want a direct black and white response about train education. It's never going to be that. And I want to go back to a point here is that I hold this very, very strongly is that when people want to learn something, they will run through a brick wall to figure it out. So if you're like hell bent on understanding how to smoke brisket the best way and the Texas style of it, you are literally going to run through a wall. You're not going to be complaining about, well, I had to go sign seven videos. I had to go this training, that training. And I had to cook four briskets and they all came out crappy. And the fifth one came out. No, because you're so committed to finding the information and the education to hone the craft. You don't really, the journey is just part of it. Right. So when I look at education, like if you don't want to have that skill and you don't want to, and you don't find that intriguing, you're just not going to do it. So this whole idea of like, I wasn't trained, I wasn't supported. No, you just didn't want to do the work to learn. Like, and that's just now the other side of it to take ownership as a leader is that you have to think about your organization. You have to think about the organization, the org chart specifically of the roles and say, what is the foundational information education I need to provide people, right? Then what's the on-the-job training I got to provide them? What's the one-on-one that I've got to provide them? What's the accountability structure feedback loop I got to provide them? Now, that might be a group. That might be one-on-ones. I don't know. You can figure there's multiple ways to do that. What are the mastermind groups that you could put them with? Who's their partner in their resource as a colleague? Because you've got, you know, developing training from a supervisor to employee to colleagues. You can do these. There's ways to structure that. Now, if the leadership, the supervisor, the owner, whatever, isn't creating that, 100% on them, right? Because you got an employee that's looking to be developed and they have no pathway because you haven't created an environment, which goes back to this piece, environment and conversations. You as a leader can create, those are the only things you can control. Environment that you're in, right? That you've got a great environment for people. It's collaborative, it's supportive, it's positive, it's competitive, it's success, all those type of things. And then your one-on-ones and your conversations, whether that's in group training or in the one-on-ones or in anything else, you can control those things. At that point, it's on the employee to step into it and take advantage of it and run the gamut of what they need to do, develop to get succeed. Now, if you create that environment, it tells me that you care about me. It tells me that you actually are fundamentally committed to my development and not a bottom line as if I'm a widget. And I think why that's beneficial to the organization is you're teaching people. And when you teach somebody and you mentor them, and you create a pathway for them to get to where they want to go, they will never forget you. They remember the time that you took the call at 9 p.m. They remember the time that you had the hard conversation about their lack of performance because most people know that they're not performing because of their choice, right? So when you care enough to have hard conversations but also celebrate the amazing ones, you're creating an environment and a memory for people that they very seldom have with an employee-employer relationship. So great organizations are based on the development and training of people because it shows you care at the highest level, because I care about who you become. I don't care about what you do. What you do is an off, it's a side project. It's an output of what you did because of who you became. And when you care about people as who they become, as a training and development organization, you're going to create an environment where great people want to come to, because they're going to keep leveling up. They're going to keep progressing. They're going to keep succeeding. And by doing so, the outcomes of the business will show up as a manifestation of who that you have running the organization. And that's why I'm so passionate about development and training of people, because the right people in the right environment will crush it.
Well, Joe, that you exude that, right? There's no doubt about it. The time that I've known you, like, that's something that's incredibly imperative for you, that, that personal development, self-growth, it goes both ways, right? You got to want it, you got to own it, but you got to know where to go get it to. And the leadership's got to be able to either A, be the conduit to provide that training and education in a one-on-one environment, bring it to the office for training because it's generalized enough that connects with enough people, or beyond that, saying, hey, you know what? I know exactly where you need to go, or I know exactly who you need to talk to. Let me arrange that for you, right? That's when you truly know somebody and provide something to them, is when it's above and beyond the superfluous. If you're just regurgitating what they can stroke online and go find out, you're not providing value. You're not, you're transactional to them. So you got to separate yourself. So here, as we close out the year, unbelievable, the year 2024 has been, I challenge everybody to this. Do you go to training for training's sake, or do you go to learn? Look at the calendar and the time commitments that you make to go to things. Right? Is it valuable? Is it going to be a return for you? If you are a business owner or a leader and you're driving people to training, do you know your people well enough to say, when I pick up the phone and I invite them to training, that I know that it's worth it to you to go, or am I just trying to fill a room? Those are things that will separate you and endear you to your people because you know them. Joe, happy holidays. Happy New Year. And I appreciate and I love being in business with you.
Likewise, my brother, likewise. So, Dave, thank you so much for this year of entrepreneurial impact. I think it's been amazing for what we've been able to accomplish with amazing conversations and different journeys and insights that we've gotten from this. And this is just one of many, and onward into 2025. So
onward. Give us a like, a love, and a listen, and share this puppy. Bye, everybody.